Alright, good morning world. This is Vaughn Edmead, aka Coach Vaughn of the Averages Failure team. And this is our podcast. At one point it was called Averages Failure. At another point it was called Can't Be Hid. But we have settled on calling it the Belief and Hustle podcast. And so, you know, before I jump into what I want to talk about today, let me just tell you all a little bit about how we're planning on using this particular podcast. There were some points in time where I felt like, you know, I would just teach specifically, you know, like do Bible studies, so to speak, on here. You know, but anybody who really knows who I am, who knows how Averages Failure started, it started as more so a motivational speaking thing. Then it kind of transitioned to some more specific career development principles, and then it kind of went down the spiritual route. And so I've wrestled over the years with, you know, what direction I want to take it in, and it's just occurred to me that I plan to take it in the direction of all things development, spiritual development, leadership development, career development, brand development, personal development, because all of those things are important topics that I'm interested in, and those are all areas where I feel like I can be helpful in terms of, you know, little things that I've learned along my journey. I feel like they can be of use to you. So, you know, this is kind of like a one-stop shop for all things development. From a Christian's perspective. Okay, so that being said, I hope that you all will come along on this journey with us. You can follow us over at, or follow me over at, you know, at Averages Failure on Instagram. We're going to be doing some things there that I think you'll be interested in. I don't want to let the cat out of the bag just yet, you know, but jump on over there. You know, follow, pay attention, because we're hoping to bring things to you all that would be useful for you, okay? We're not interested in just developing this brand just to say we have a brand, but, you know, we're hoping that what we deliver would be something that you truly appreciate, learn from, and are able to engage with. So, that being said, let's talk a little bit about chosen race, chosen generation, royal priesthood, and all of that stuff, okay? In the Bible, if you were to go to let me do it this way. You know, and in the future I'll have my guys Paul and a few other people on here who will be part of these discussions. But if I didn't get started today, truthfully, I don't know when I would get started. In the Bible, when you go to the beginning of the Bible, you start with the story of one of the first stories, and there's the story of Abraham. And Abraham is given a promise by God. But one of the main things that I want you to pay attention to, and trust me, that I really do believe that this would be helpful for whoever's listening in a practical way in their life. But one of the things that we often miss is that the promise that's given to Abraham, that he would be blessed, his family would be blessed, and the generations that he births after him would be blessed. A lot of the times we stop at that point and we forget that although it says that he would be blessed and his family would be blessed, that they would then be a blessing to the whole world. Okay? And the way that I've described it often is that the blessing or and the promise was to Abraham, but the promise was for the world. And so if we go past his story and we go down to his son's story, Isaac, you see the same thing. God reiterates the same promise in maybe using somewhat different language, but in essence, it's the same promise. And it's to Isaac, Abraham's son, but it's for the world, okay? Then if you were to move on from that, you would see where the promise eventually is given again and reiterated to Jacob, also known as Israel, all right? But the promise is for the world. And then if you go down again, and then you start seeing the Israel or Jacob's children as a nation called Israel, and at Mount Sinai, you know, God is talking to them again about how they would be to him a kingdom of priests, okay? But pay attention, because priests aren't priests for themselves. You know, priests are in essence intermediaries between God and the rest of the people who God is trying to reach. And so, again, we can kind of see here where this nation of Israel is in essence being given a promise and being given a charge to be a kingdom of priests on behalf of the people who God hasn't spoken directly to, right? They're supposed to be intermediaries. So the promise, you know, or the blessing is to the nation of Israel, but again, it's for the world, okay? And the reason why I bring these things up is because, let me put this this way. If you go further on, you know, into books like Isaiah, you start seeing where there's this servant who isn't given a name, but, you know, theologians have called him the suffering servant, who's mentioned at various places in the prophets in the Bible. But the language around this alludes to the fact that this person would end up, you know, is a representation of the future Messiah or the future Christ, right? And for the Christian, we believe that this person or this person was fulfilled, this figure was fulfilled in Jesus Christ, who we call Jesus Christ. You know, but it says that this person, in Isaiah, it says that this person would be, would work on behalf of bringing the gospel to the Gentiles, okay? The Gentiles being another way of, you know, a word for non-Israelites, non-Jews at the time. And so it's these things are important, because when we look in the New Testament, we see where Jesus fulfilled the promise. He went to the people. Yes, there was a promise, or there was a work, there was a blessing that was given to him, but he was bringing it to the world. He was bringing it to Roman centurions and to Samaritans and to people who his people had failed to bring the message to, and to bring the gospel, this good news, to, okay? He was successfully doing that. But the thing is, there's still a challenge on those of us today that the calling that God has, you know, and I don't mean to use that what I call like a cheesy way or too much of a churchy way, right? I'm really trying to be practical about this. But there is a real call on the life of the Christian, and I think that we've missed this call in many ways. And one of the best ways that I can exemplify this is through the example of Wakanda in Black Panther, okay? In Black Panther, the movie The Black Panther, what you have is Wakandans who, they are in essence a blessed people group. Okay, and the thing about it is, in the rest of what's happening out in the rest of the world, however, is that there's turmoil going on in the rest of the world. Matter of fact, there's turmoil going on in the rest of the world, and many of the people who are being affected are actually descendants of the Wakandans. But the Wakandans have taken a stance that they basically, for the most part, would look out for themselves and make sure that they're taken care of, and did not and basically kept their hands clean from the rest of the world. But because they, what they failed to realize is that they actually had many of the solutions that the rest of the world could benefit from, but they had been hoarding it for themselves. And interestingly enough, what they didn't realize is that by doing what they did, the arch nemesis to Black Panther was a man named Killmonger, who was actually Black Panther's cousin. But Killmonger became Killmonger because he had been forgotten about by the Wakandans. So when Wakandans forget about, you know, the blessing that they have and who they are and their mission to the rest of the world, it creates Killmongers. And so that example, I think, is an important one, because when we and I'm going somewhere specific, we're going to get to something very specific here, and then I'm going to wrap up. But that example is very important, because when you get to the point of in essence, the church should look out into the world, see many of the problems there today, and say to themselves, all these problems may not have been solved, may not be able to be solved by me, but they're probably at the magnitude that they're at because the followers of Christ have not really done the job that they're supposed to do. And so watch what I mean by this. If you go, we often talk about a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, or what have you, right? And we'll see churches and people getting excited in church to hear, like, yep, you're a royal priesthood, you're a chosen generation. But this is where, and this is part of our spiritual development. This is clearly a spiritual development piece, but it's also a personal development piece, I believe, as well. It's not good enough just to believe that you're a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, and that you're just this person that's just blessed for the sake of being blessed, right? And you are see yourself as royalty and as a king and as a queen just for the sake of seeing yourself as a king of and a queen. But there's something that Peter was trying to tell us through those verses. And you find those verses in 1 Peter chapter 2. But I really think if you start at 1 Peter chapter 1 is where you'll really start seeing like why this stuff matters. So go with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. And in there, you would see in verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." That little verse right there is deep, because it's some words in there we easily skip over. But it says that we have been begotten again through Jesus Christ's resurrection and according to his abundant mercy. Okay? Why is that important? It's important because in essence, what God has said is that your foundational identity is no longer based on your culture. It's no longer based on your race. Your foundational identity is no longer based on your social status, but you have been reborn in Jesus Christ. And at the center and at the foundation of your identity is Jesus Christ and him crucified, the gospel of the good news of the kingdom. Okay? Now, I'm not just going to leave you there. To kind of understand where I'm going, think about something that Martin Luther King said, right? Martin Luther King said that the most segregated time in America is actually at 11 a.m. during Sunday service at church. And for some of us who worship on, you know, the Saturday Sabbath, I venture to argue the same thing can be said of those who worship on Saturday. whether it's Saturday or Sunday, those tend to be the most segregated times during our nation's week. Because I'll be quite frank with you, rarely have I gone to a church where there are other white people, where there are white people in that church. Almost any time I go to a church, it's all black folks. Right? And there are very few churches that I've seen that have a mixed multitude of races in that church, all figuring out ways to live in harmony together. Okay? So think about that when I now, when you look out into the world now, you see all the challenges going on with race and racism that we want to see change. But then think about what we're seeing in the church, right? So now watch this. We just talked about that, what we talked about in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, right? But then, and I hate jumping around like this, but I don't want to make these teachings too long. So take the time to read through these verses, you know, on your own, through all of chapter 1 and all of chapter 2, so that you and really the whole book, so that you have the full context. But bear with me as I jump on down to chapter 2, all right? In chapter 2, when you get to verse 9, that's where all of a sudden it says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy but now have obtained mercy." All right? "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation." Watch this. It says, "But you are a chosen generation." That's what we usually say. But in some translations, that word for generation is actually translated as race, which means that, don't just think about that within the context of the times that we are living in. You are a royal priesthood, a chosen race, a holy nation. In essence, what Peter is saying is, for those who have been begotten again by Jesus Christ, which is why I talked about our identity, he is saying that you are now a chosen race. Your foundational race is not your skin color. Your foundational race has nothing to do with what and who you are in the flesh, but it is in Jesus Christ. And watch this. If that is the case, then a large portion of the New Testament is trying to argue for the oneness amongst different people groups in the church. In the church, in the New Testament, it was one of the main challenges of the New Testament is that you have different cultures, different races, different ethnicities, all believing on this one man, Jesus Christ. And oftentimes, matter of fact, Peter had challenges with racism because he used to flip-flop, and Paul had to check him once. And Paul is constantly admonishing this church of believers made up of Jews and Gentiles and people of different social statuses and people of different genders and racial races or what have you. And he's trying to teach them how to be one. And here's the reason why I think that this is important. Because many of us, and rightfully so, you know, we're advocating to our government, we're looking at politicians, we're looking at educational systems or what have you to be changed in order to stop the racial injustices and the oppressions that we see, going on, especially against Black people here in the Western world, specifically the United States is the context that I'm speaking from. But it's not just here. We see it all over the world. And the challenge, however, is that we're looking to see race relations solved and healed in the world when, for those of us who are believers now, for those of us who are believers, the Bible actually challenges us to get it right first. And I think that if Paul was here, he would be saying, if you want to see the changes, watch this, right? Let me not skip over this because I read it to you all, but I don't want to gloss over it. After it talks about that chosen race, that chosen generation, royal priesthood, holy nation, then all of a sudden it jumps down to verse 11 and 12 where he says, I'm begging of you as sojourners, Peter is begging of you, and pilgrims, to abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles. Why? That when they speak against you as evildoers, watch this, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. But Peter is saying it doesn't start with the Gentile. If you want to see changes amongst the Gentiles, you have to begin with the church. And it doesn't mean, I'm not saying that you stop working on with and, you know, in the world and with the tools that we have and resources to try to affect the changes in the world that we want to see. However, I think that the apostles are saying that if the church isn't setting the example of being able to be at one with their brother and with their neighbor, with people that don't look like them. Jesus was saying the same thing as well. Many times, you know, stories like the Good Samaritan. If the people who are believers in Jesus Christ are not taking up the challenge to seek oneness amongst themselves, amongst the races that we have, then we can't expect to see it, the solutions as fully as we want to see them in the world. And so I just wanted to just, you know, share that with you. And maybe if I think about some practical ways that that can be done, you know, is maybe, you know, Black churches and white churches challenging themselves to seek out other churches who, quite frankly, may not see things the way that you do, but saying, if we believe this thing called the gospel, then we have to be willing to challenge ourselves to find ways to be in the same places and spaces in order to begin the hard work of oneness amongst each other. Then maybe, just maybe, we'll see those changes take place in the world. So I just wanted to leave y'all with that today. And I'm hoping that I'll constantly be able to, on a regular basis, bring more things that hopefully will help us all develop, you know, as Christians, as employees, as entrepreneurs, you know. But I wanted to set the foundation with, you know, a spiritual development piece, because I really think that that is at the core of all the other pieces that we will discuss and talk about. So this is for my leaders, my change, you know, my game changers and change agents, you know, people who want to take the lead in this world and really want to use their lives in various ways, you know, to get the most out of life, first and foremost, or get the most out of life, but really get the most out of life with the, and utilize that as tools to spread the gospel, you know, as more opportunity for the spreading of the gospel. So join us on a journey. I don't have it all perfect yet. I don't know how this thing will eventually unfold, but I hope that you're willing to come on the ride with us, and I hope that you find it worthwhile to be on the ride with us. Most importantly, if it's not worthwhile for you, then there's no point in me doing it. So feel free to reach out any way that I can be of help. Please make it known to us. Anyway, Again, average is failure. You know, this is the Belief in Hustle podcast. Find us and what we're going to be doing on Instagram as well. You know, at average is failure on Instagram. I got some good ideas that I think will be helpful for you all as well. Anyway, I've said enough. Y'all be well. Until I speak to you all again next week. Peace.